from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM, The Fan. C. Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Chicago Charlie, Charlie Husen, producing Other Side of the Glass. He's just so multifaceted. Cable box goes out in the producer booth. I was like, oh, mine works. I'm watching the Olympics on mine. Mine works, so it can't be a building thing. It's got to be just a cable box thing. I got it. Charlie makes several calls. Boom! Fixed! See that? While the show was going on, got it all fixed. You are the man, Charlie.
What can I say? I guess I'm a handyman now. Anybody need cable box work done, I can call the phone line for you.
Make some good high side hustle money on that,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. Figure it out. Joining us now, he is Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sparky. How you doing?
Doing good. Jordan Love with a good day today, which I don't think it was needed necessarily, but those that, you know, are still questioning whether or not that was a good contract to give Jordan Love after his season last year now can shut up at least for a day because he looked more like the Jordan Love we saw last year. I think at family night he looked okay, but I don't think he was looking as good as he previously did in parts last year.
Yeah, so he missed what? I think it was the first 4 practices, I'm pretty sure. Then they finish his deal. The next 2, so his first 2 practices, you could see some real rust, especially the first day. You know, the second day, he came on a little bit, but after that, he had looked really sharp. Was making a lot of plays out of the pocket. I would say since he started playing better, I don't know how many practices that would be total. Like, you know, probably 5 or 6. Family night was probably his worst. And then, you know, today he looked fine. It was really windy today. So when they ran the offense with the wind, just like with the kickers, things went a lot better than against the wind.
I think when we start talking about the kickers, and I talked about this yesterday with Charlie, as far as the windy conditions and so forth, and whether or not you're kicking in the snow or the rain or whatever, kicking at Lambeau Field is different than kicking in a dome in Minnesota. And with all due respect to Joseph, that's kind of where he's been. And now you add some wind and you realize today that maybe that leg isn't as strong as what maybe it needs to be at Lambeau, even though, you know, he's made more than Carlson has to this point. I wonder how much the strength of the leg plays into their final decision.
Actually, you know, I would argue that Joseph's leg is the stronger of the two.
Really?
Yeah, when they've been kicking in practice, Joseph, you know, like you start getting the upper 40s, there's a net that they put that's attached to the goalpost.
Okay.
So it goes the width of the goalpost and it goes right up to the top. And, you know, once you get to the mid to later 40s, Carlson's kicks will hit the net. He won't get it over the net. He'll get it. It might be pretty far up. Whereas Jacobs has been
Joseph.
Joseph, sorry. I keep calling him Jacobs. Joseph has been hitting his you get in the upper 40s and maybe even 50, he's been knocking some of his over the net. Today, that wind was really strong. It was mostly in their face, a little bit cross, but mostly in their face. And when they tried I think it was a 53-yarder, Joseph came up short, and Carlson didn't, but he knocked it off the upright. But I think that was – I'm pretty sure that was mainly because Joseph kicked that really high ball, and the wind was really strong, and it just stopped it. And Carlson's kick was just a lot lower trajectory, so the wind didn't affect it quite as much. But, yeah, if I had to bet, I mean, you know, we'll find out. I was going to say in the preseason games on the kickoffs, but we won't with the new rules. But I'm pretty sure Joseph has a little bit stronger leg than Carlson. At least that's what I've seen out on the practice field day in and day out.
Most of the time in preseason, you know, you see coaches going forward on fourth down situations where they may take the field goal because they want to get work in with their offensive players or whatever. I wonder how that will change, if at all, with LaFleur, knowing one of the main battles here is this kicking battle, whether or not he's going to allow these guys to maybe take more field goal attempts than he would in previous years, letting the offense stay on the field.
Yeah, I'd want to trot those guys out there as many times as possible and put them in game pressure situations. I mean, Joseph, you know, I keep meaning to look up how he kicked in Chicago for when those 3 years with the Vikings. But in his 3 years with the plant kicking at Lambeau once a season, he was only like, I think it was like 3 for 7 or something like that on field goals here. So I would want to see him out there. The funny thing is, like at the practice field, it's so open that the wind is actually probably a bigger factor on the windy days. Now, there have been a lot of days where there hasn't been much wind, but on the windy days, the wind is a bigger factor out on the practice field than it is in Lambeau. But the Lambeau blocks, you know, a lot or some of the wind, and then it does tend to swirl in there. So you get more, Carlson was saying, you get more crosswind than you do get wind in your face. Like they had today, that was a really strong wind in their face today.
Let's talk about some of the things that happened today at practice. Kraft returns from his pec injury. How did he look, Tucker Kraft?
You know, he only did individuals, so kind of tough to tell. He only did the individual stuff. You know, they do special teams and individual stuff early in practice. And so he seems to be on the Zach Tom plan. So the best guess is he'll only do that individual stuff this week and next week and then the week after. So that would be the week of the final preseason game. He'll start doing 11-on-11. I don't know if he'll play that week. Tom is not playing this week, LaFleur said. But if he's on the same trajectory as Tom, because he injured his pec 2 or 3 weeks after Tom did. If he's on the same trajectory, which it looks like, and he keeps saying the goal is that he thinks he has a real good shot to be ready for the opener in Brazil.
That would be good. The opener would be a good target date. I'm fine with that. What about Jordan Morgan? He went off at practice today.
Yeah, no idea what was up with him. When they did the jog through, he was, you know, that's what they do at the very start of practice. And he was working with he was the first guy out there at right guard. And then they did one-on-one pass rushing, and he had 2 reps and seemed okay. And then when they started doing team for real, he wasn't in there. Sean Ryan was instead. And then a little bit into that period, Morgan went into the Hudson Center with one of the trainers, never came back out, wasn't in the locker room, before talks, before practice, not after. So we won't find out anything about what's going on with him probably till LaFleur's press conference tomorrow morning.
All right. Talking with Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty as we talk about the Packers. Earlier today, Matt LaFleur saying Jordan Love and the starters are going to play some, obviously, against Cleveland. As far as that goes, I argue that, and I think he would agree with me, that because of last year, his whole mentality of how to approach this has completely changed from when he had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think the slow starts that they had in those Rodgers seasons is at least a little bit of a factor, but at least as much of a factor is that although Love is obviously, you know, much more established now than he was a year ago, he's still a young quarterback, you know, so you get the sense, I'm guessing offense will only play, you know, the starters only 2 series. I mean, Zach Tom isn't playing, and that's the thing that jumped off the practice field, at least to me today, was Tom started doing team 11-on-11 stuff this week, and the difference was really noticeable because Rashawn Gary has been blowing up a lot of plays, getting in the backfield, and he was not doing that today. Now, Tom was only taking about half the snaps, but it just jumped out what a noticeable difference it is, which tells you two things. One, that he's a really good player, and two, maybe their depth at tackle is a little shaky.
And see, that's the thing. And LaFleur talked about that in the pre-practice presser, talking about how the battle for the third tackle position is a real one. Right now, you having been out there, who would you give the edge to right now as that third tackle, that swing tackle for the Packers?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess you'd have to go with Dillard. You know, he's played the most in the league of all those guys, and he's played both sides. He's struggled on the right side here in camp, he has. And he's played mostly on the left in his career, but I just looked it up a little while ago.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
And he's started a few games on the right side in his career, so I guess I'd go with him. I was always intrigued by Caleb Jones and just how big, and you know, he's really tall and he's got these great long arms and, you know, good athlete for a 6'9" guy. So I'm still intrigued by him, but you know, he was hurt to start camp, and he's just kind of working into the rotation. So I don't know. There's no one who looks quite as good to me as Josh Nyman was last season. Now, maybe that changes in the next few weeks. I do wonder, I don't know for sure what they would do, but in this regular season, you know, Sean Ryan's probably he's their best backup offensive lineman, but he's only a guard and, you know, kind of a backup center. So I do wonder if they get an injury at tackle, one thing they could at least consider is bumping Morgan out there and putting Ryan at guard. Now, I don't remember seeing Morgan take any snaps at tackle this camp. If he's taken any, it's just been a handful at most. So I don't know if they'd be reluctant to make that kind of move with him. But he played tackle his entire high school and college career.
And I think that's something that they've wanted to do eventually. I think Goody has talked about left tackle when they drafted him. That's kind of where they want to see him. Not again, we'll see if that actually gets there at some point. I said earlier in the show that I think Morgan ends up being the right tackle next year if and when they actually slide Tom to center.
Yeah, there's all sorts of possibilities there. I'm not sure. Yeah, it could go. Who knows what way it goes? It could be Morgan plays really good at guard, and they really like him there, and they don't want to move him. They decide to keep him there. They could do, as you say, and move Tom to center, you know, if they think he would just be off the charts good at center, and they could bump Morgan out. Who knows what they might do in the draft next year. They'll have all those options open to them, and you never know which way it's going to go, but your scenario is as plausible as any of them.
Let's talk about running back quickly here, and then we'll move on. What about Josh Jacobs? Looks like he had a couple of good runs today in practice.
Yeah, there was a couple where there were noticeably big holes. I mean, the run game stuff is the hardest for me to make any sense of in practice because there's no tackling. So you never know if a guy would have broken tackles. You know, guys let up and just touch off, so it's hard to tell sometimes whether it was, you know, a good touch off, or whether they were, you know, whether they may not have had a great shot at the tackle, but there were a couple nice holes today. He looks fast. He looks explosive. He's bigger than Aaron Jones. He has quite that Jones cutting ability, but you know, Jones might be as good a cutter as there was in the league, or is in the league. But he does. He's a bigger, stronger, short, but big, strong guy. So he looks pretty good. But you know, honestly, when it comes to running backs, I really can't tell until they're playing in the real games.
Time with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. As most of you know that have listened to our station for quite some time, Pete Doherty was the one that was presenting Leroy Butler for those couple of years, and then got Leroy Butler into the Hall of Fame eventually, which was awesome. And there was a piece the other day, where was it? I think it was The Athletic, maybe. Dan Pompey and I can't remember who the other one was, put together a piece of who the next one should be going into the Hall of Fame for each NFL team. Who do you think they would have put down for the Green Bay Packers?
So I did not see that. So let me guess. Did this also include like old time players, or was this just modern candidates?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The guy who I think is going to be next from the organization is Mike Holmgren. I'm guessing he'll get into the next two or three years.
See, and that's what they put was Mike Holmgren, and I wanted, and my vote was Sterling Sharpe.
So he's got to come through the seniors,
right?
Once you've been retired for 25 years, then you get bumped into the seniors pool. And it is really tough getting out of there. I wouldn't be surprised. I think eventually he's got a really good shot to get out of there and make it. But there's only every year, you know, I think it switches off. It's two candidates from the seniors pool 1 year, then the next year it's one. And then it's two the next year, and then it's one the year after. So that's a pretty small number. But if you get out of that committee, it's an up or down vote. So for the rest of the committee, because that's a subcommittee. So then the regular committee is 48 people, I think. And if you get out of the subcommittee, then it's just a straight up or down vote. You're either in or not. And odds are really high, not 100%, but odds are really high that if you make it out of that committee, that you'll get elected into the halls. But that's a tough road to make it. And it's probably going to be a few years before he gets near the top of that list. That's at least my best guess.
I went looking at numbers yesterday on the show as I was getting angrier and angrier going back and forth with Charlie about Terrell Davis. You go look at his numbers. He had 3 years. His last like 3 years were complete trash because he was hurt and not healthy and not playing well, whatever. Just didn't play. Sharp didn't have any of that. He was a stud for pretty much his whole career, cut short because of injury. Was as good, if not better, than Jerry Rice the 1 year when he had the triple crown in receiving. Like I just, for the love of God, I don't understand. I mean, I do understand because the media guys are the ones that vote, and you know, he didn't talk to the media and you know, wasn't great to the media and all of that. So maybe that worked against him at points as far as him getting in. But if Terrell Davis is in, I don't understand how Sterling Sharpe isn't.
Yeah, I don't, you know, honestly, Sparky, I don't think that not talking to the media, I don't think that affected him at all, because basically that mostly affected just local people, you know, just people who cover the Packers. So I don't think national people even would have cared about that anyway. I think the issue is the short career, and then Terrell Davis, you're right, that changes things, and that opened up a big can of worms. And I did not vote for Terrell Davis because of the short career, but one of the arguments for him was, I can't remember now if it was three or four really good years he had, but then he had, I think it was 16 playoff games, and his 16 playoff games, he might have been over, it was either like 1,900 yards rushing or over 2,000. And so, you know, some of the voters basically argued that, hey, that's like another full season, and that's in the biggest games where he was at his best. So they thought that was a really strong argument for him. But it also helped a lot a huge difference that they won two Super Bowls. And he was kind of the engine of those teams. You know, Elway was getting old by then, and yep, he wasn't quite the player he had been. So that made a huge difference, where Sharp just played for, you know, bad to mediocre teams. And then just when they started getting good, his career ended. So those are the biggest reasons. I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I think his argument with Davis being in now and Tony Boselli, for instance, the argument for Sharp is starting to get really strong. And I, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he makes it sometime in the next, you know, 5 years or so. But it's just, that's a hard road coming up through that, through that seniors committee. That's and the other thing is, Packers have this guy who, if you know Cliff Kristol, a historian, and he knows. I mean, he knows this stuff inside and out. He'd argue that Vern Llewellyn is the Packer who most deserves to be in, who isn't in right now. He was the best player on those championship teams from 1929, 30, and 31. So that's another thing that conceivably could get in Sharp's way, too, although it seems like from the committee perspective, from what I can tell, they're a lot more aware, way more aware of Sharp than they are of Llewellyn.
Well, it helps when your brother's on TV and in the media constantly talking about it. I mean, that
doesn't hurt either.
Right.
True.
I mean, that helps a ton with Shannon being out there in the media and reminding everybody, hey, my brother should be in. It keeps it at the top of everybody's mind about Sterling not being in. I think it's a huge advantage for Sterling eventually getting in.
Apologies for interrupting you, but I will say that the subcommittee for the seniors, I think it's like 8 or 9 people, you know, they do a good job. They're well aware of all these people. And one thing you do have to remember is most franchises, just about every franchise has a senior guy who everyone who follows that franchise feels just as strongly that person should be in as you feel about Sterling Sharp. So there are a lot of candidates out there who may not be huge names, who were really good players who deserve to be in too. So, you know, that's why it takes a while for people to work their way to the top of that list, and to get the chance to go in each year, either one or two guys, depending on the year.
Makes sense. There he is, Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette. He's amazing. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sparky. Good talking with you.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Pete Doherty, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.